Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
We're go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance go.
Procedures.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go fly.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
This is Space Talk, a weekly program that highlights America's space program and what's new in space flight from around the globe. And now, with the past, present, and future of space exploration, here is Jim Behnke.
Greetings from Florida's Space Coast, home of the most skilled aerospace workforce in America. I'm Jim Behnke, and this is the September 29th, 2012 edition of Space Talk, live on the air right here on WMMB. Well, we invite you to stick around with us during the next hour as we discuss our nation's space program with a particular focus on the upcoming presidential election and what our two main candidates are saying and not saying about space. We're going to do that with the help of my guest today, former Congressman Dave Weldon, and from the University of Central Florida, Dale Ketchum. You are also welcome to join us on the program today, as always, with your questions or comments about space. You can give us a call at 321-768-1240 or contact us online by sending an email to spacetalking@AOL.com. We'd love to have your input, of course. And as we get started today, I first want to offer some public thanks to Barbara Lockley from NASA and LaDonna Nieder from Boeing for being the real driving force behind the planning team that pulled off what I think was a very successful gala last weekend that celebrated the 50th anniversary of the Kennedy Space Center. It was a great event and I think provided a fitting tribute to everyone who has been part of the KSC family during this past half century and who made so many historic contributions to our nation that have, well, improved our standard of living, helped keep our nation secure, and certainly enriched our understanding of the universe around us. Now, of course, we look forward to the next 50 years and what that might bring to us here on the Space Coast and for our nation, of course. Much of that future, what it'll look like, could be riding on the outcome of the upcoming presidential election. And during our remaining time together, we're going to get into those subjects of space policy and space politics. We're going to take full advantage of my guest time today for Go, our weekly broadcast blog, Orbital Inclinations, and get right into the discussion. Joining me here in the studio today is our former Congressman Dave Weldon, no stranger to this program or this radio station. You all know of his excellent work representing the Space Coast, fighting for our space program for 14 years between 1995 and 2009. Welcome back, Dr. Weldon.
It's great to be on the program with you, Jim.
Glad to have you here. Also with me in the studio is another keen political mind, whether he believes it or not, here on the Space Coast. A great friend of the space program, Dale Ketchum, is director of the Spaceport Research and Technology Institute at UCF. And like Dave Weldon, as a returning guest to Space Talk, welcome back, Dave, or Dale.
I'm glad to be here.
Okay, guys, let's set the stage for this. There are a lot of issues with the election that people have to consider. No one should approach, in my opinion, who you're going to pick as your candidate, who you're going to pick as your guy to vote for based on one issue. But we want to certainly develop this idea of the single issue of space during the program today. And I want to tell you also up front, right away, as I've said earlier on this program and elsewhere, I'm not happy with either candidate for what they're saying about space, the kind of details they're giving out there. So I want to talk about that, get your opinions, in a sense, from both sides. Congressman Weldon, of course, is a lifelong Republican. Dale Ketchum, more from the other side of the aisle, although a registered independent, I understand.
Proudly so.
So with that said, let's get into it. Romney space policy. Last week at the UCF, Paul Ryan came down here and gave a little speech, very short on specifics and releasing this little paper that they put out. Dale, what are your thoughts just to get us started here on the Romney plan, securing U.S. leadership in space?
Well, to a large extent, I think it was a response driven. And I have to give a lot of credit to the Obama campaign team in Tampa because they have seen the absence of this policy by the Romney campaign as a perceived weakness. Because if you think over the most of the term of the president, space has really sort of been, hasn't been an issue that he's been viewed as favorably here on the Space Coast, because he was here responsible for canceling Constellation. The mm-hmm. shuttle retired on his watch. We're having to rely on the Russians, you know, and most of that came about, was determined well before he came here. But when you're in office and bad things happen, you take the rap, just the same as if good things happen, you may not be responsible, but you'll take the credit. But in any case, I think the Romney campaign had been taking a rather aggressive beating by the Tampa office of the Obama campaign, and it was showing up in NASA Watch and other blogs nationally on the space issue pretty much every other week. And so I think it was necessary. There was a perception in the Romney campaign they needed to step up, because before now, the only comments that Mitt Romney had made on space were in January in Cape Canaveral during the primary, where he said he was going to form a committee and study the issue. And that was kind of the extent of the policy statement.
Sure.
So this was an effort to sort of check that box.
Yeah, Dave, what do you think? The paper comes out, and if you're on the fence trying to decide who you're going to vote for based on just space alone, and from your perspective as a congressman, you take a look at the Romney plan, what are your high-level thoughts about it? What was the first reaction?
Well, it's pretty weak on specifics, and certainly I would have liked to have seen more meat in this plan. But I know why they're doing that. The government is broke. Mm-hmm. You get up like Newt did and say, we're going to create a moon base or something like that. You know, Medicare ran a $200 billion deficit in 2011. It's probably going to run a $220 billion deficit in 2012. I mean, the government is essentially, for all intents and purposes, bankrupt. So to talk about going on to Mars or going to the moon and creating a moon base in this kind of environment politically is very, very difficult. So I understand why it's short on specifics. Now, he says a lot of good things in here about he recognizes and acknowledges the critical role that space and space exploration has played in jobs and industry and national security. So you get the feeling that somebody on the Romney team knows that this is a very, very big issue. The other thing that disappointed me a little bit more about this is just the whole spirit of America. You know, we put a man on the moon. This is the can-do country. We're the greatest republic in the history of mankind. And space has always been one of the things we point to as a record of accomplishment. We have our healthcare system. We have our, incredible military power. But, we send probes to Mars and Jupiter, and we put men up in orbit and women up in orbit, and it motivates and excites us. It tells us a lot about who we are and what we are, where we're going, what we're going to be in the future. And it doesn't really talk a lot about that. And, the other issue is this is a big issue in terms of education. We want to have more scientists, and that added value. It's so hard to quantify that, particularly I know on the campaign trail, having been there, that spending money on NASA motivates our kids to study math and science, which is true. The teachers always told me that it was one of the best tools they had to get the kids excited and interested in math and science. And how do you put a dollar value on that, and how, those kids will someday become our engineers of the future and maybe our entrepreneurs and maybe the next Bill Gates.
Sure.
And Steve Jobs, and so it's a tough issue, but that's also somewhat lacking. It's kind of brief. It doesn't have a lot of meat in it. But at least he did it. He checked the box, you might say. So he can't. The Obama team in Tampa can't say, he's weak on space. And Obama calling anybody weak on space is kind of ridiculous. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, and there you go. And the fundamental part about this plan, this idea that we're going to put together another panel to decide what we're going to do in the future, is what personally bothers me crazy. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. It is time to take our first break here. We're going to take a brief pause. We'll be back with Dale Ketchum and Dave Weldon. We're talking about space politics, Romney, Obama, and the whole deal about spaceflight. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Jim Bank. You're listening to Space Talk on WMMB.
Space Talk is back in a minute. Call Jim now at 768-1240. If it's happening in space, Jim Behnke is there. Okay, well, not in space, but he's all about it. This is Space Talk on WMMB.
And welcome back to Space Talk, everyone. 321-768-1240 is the number to call to participate in our program today about space policies. The election's coming up. Got Dale Ketchum from UCF and Dave Weldon, former congressman, in the studio with us. Your questions and comments also welcome by email to spacetalking@AOL.com, where we've already got a couple questions queued up here ready to go in just a moment. Before we do continue with our conversation about the space program, I want to say thanks to Smokey Stover and Abacus Technology for renewing this week their financial support as a sponsor of Space Talk. Program couldn't happen without the support of our local space community at every level. And by doing this, Abacus certainly does continue to demonstrate its leadership and commitment to our space program. So again, thanks to Abacus Technology. Okay, guys, we're looking at this space policy, and we're trying to get some more details, some more meat out of Romney, the governor, in terms of his plan for the space program if he should be elected. And amongst all the rhetoric buried in all of it is this recurring theme in his different campaign speeches and in the statement itself, that one of the things he wants to do when he becomes president is to put together all the experts, NASA, industry, academia, DOD, whatever, and let's come up with a coherent plan to move forward. I have a bookshelf full of studies and plans going back as long as I was a little kid growing up in Minnesota. I think Konstantin Tsiolkovsky, the Russian, probably first set us on the path. Wernher von Braun and Walt Disney made it very clear that we're going to go into orbit, we're going to go to the moon, we're going to go to Mars, we're going to do things at asteroids, we're going to do things at the Lagrangian points. We don't want to get into orbital mechanics yet. It's not cocktail hour. But, guys, do we need another plan? Congressman Weldon, do we need another plan?
No.
And how do we convince this new administration, should he be elected, that we don't need a plan?
Well, the reason he's saying that is it goes over pretty well on the campaign trail to people who are not knowledgeable insiders. So if you're just an average citizen, it sounds really great. But for those of us who've been around the space program for years, we know about those mountains of studies and how it's just not needed. What we need is leadership and not another study. Maybe somebody to just read all the previous studies and then tell Romney what to do. I would say this. If he wins and he goes down that path, I would encourage Posey and the other members of the Florida delegation to encourage President Romney to make it quick and make it brief because, you know, there's only so many things you can do.
Right.
I mean, it's not like we have seven moons and 6 zillion planets to go to.
That's right.
It's either, you know, moon base, asteroid visit, onto Mars. I mean, it's just a couple of choices if we're going to continue manned exploration of space. And I think really that's what we're talking about here, putting men and women back into space from Cape Canaveral.
Right.
And when are we going to start doing that? When are we going to get the embarrassment of launching our astronauts on Russian rockets behind us? And how are we going to go about doing that?
Well, and to me, that's the key thing. How are we going to do it? Because, you know, if the governor were to give the same speech at the Space Coast and say the same thing, and our audience knows about these plans. But on the other hand, Dale Ketchum, you know, our audience also is used to hearing things like, we're going to go to the moon by the end of a decade. We're going to go to the moon by a certain date, and we're going to do it in this way. And the first thing the guys ask is, well, how big is the rocket? And what's the payload? And all these engineering things that come into play as you build what's called the architecture to go make these things happen. We can decide we're going to go back to the moon or onto Mars. I think and this is where we get into what the president's plan is. Yes, we're going to go to Mars in the 2030s. We're going to try to get to an asteroid by 2025. But that's not enough for the space community, is it? We want to know more specifically a date and a way we're going to do it and what rocket we're going to need and that the funding will be there and that we got money beyond just paying for the rocket. We've got a lander we can put together. And frankly, as I was joking with Charlie Bolden last week, I want a patch and a T-shirt. I need a name for this program that goes beyond just the Space Launch System. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think to a large extent, the part that of the Romney piece that proposed the study was, I think Dave was right. He was looking for something to differentiate himself from the president, because on detail, there's no differentiation from, as NASA Watch said, that Romney proposes the Obama plan.
Yeah.
But it was, he had to have some deviation because he was saying Romney, Obama's messed it up, I'll do a better job. But the idea of a of another study would be disastrous for the space community, because the last thing we need in the workforce is to believe we're going to change course again in a couple of years. Because it, particularly going into the budget environment we're going into, where the federal government, hopefully, regardless of who the heck is elected president, is going to be focused on deficit reduction. And if you're, if you know you're going to change course, then is it viewed as we're spending billions of dollars continually on a program we know we're going to cancel, or do we just furlough Kennedy Space Center until they make up their mind?
Yeah.
But I think the goal is we want to have, we're used to having a destination and a timeline. Politically, that's more digestible, and it's something to rally behind. I think where the president proposed in his original vision with the fiscal 11 budget, it was a noble effort, because he said, let's stop building a vehicle to go to one place, and let's develop the technologies that will enable us to go anywhere we want in the solar system. And that's a laudable goal, but it's not really, it's not manageable in a Congress.
Yeah.
Particularly when you're trying to, when you have people who are upset because Constellation was being canceled, and you had contractors and Richard Shelby and everybody else who was not very happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a political need to have a destination and a timeline, even though, you know, it's a NASA timeline, you pretty much double it, and that's probably when we're going to get it done. But it's a political necessity, I think, to have a destination and a timeline. Whether we're used to that, because that's the way it's always been. Now, whether or not that's, I'm always concerned that we're always being held to the template of Apollo.
Right.
And Apollo is the last thing we ought to ever judge a federal program again, because that's the federal government giving an agency a blank check.
It was an anomaly in history,
yes,
as many have said.
It was glorious, but right, let's not try to impose that template on everything else, because we will always be unsatisfied.
So let me ask you this. You know, as a candidate, Dave, you know, you've been a candidate for a lot of different things in the Senate and all that. We all want to parse every word you say. We want to believe that everything you say on a campaign stump or impromptu is well thought out and totally reflects exactly what you believe, and maybe you're sending signals and maybe you're not. Certainly at the presidential level, folks get that way all the time. And so you look at what Romney has said, you look at what the governor said about our space program, and then I'll just share some of the classic quotes. You know, during the primary with Newt Gingrich, when he was talking about Gingrich putting a base on the moon, he says, "I'm not looking for a colony on the moon. I think the cost of that would be the hundreds of billions, if not trillions. I'd rather be rebuilding houses here in the U.S. If I had a business executive come to me and say they wanted to spend a few hundred billion dollars to put a colony on the moon, I'd say you're fired." Following Armstrong's death in service, the governor was up in Ohio, and just talking about stuff in general, he says, "I will do everything in my power to bring us together, because united, America built the strongest economy in the history of the earth. United, we put Neil Armstrong on the moon." Well, that sounds great. He's talking at one point during one of his campaign stops about China, that someday China may be looking down from us on, you know, from the moon. He says, "I know the Chinese are planning on going to the moon. I hope they have a good experience doing that. I hope they stop in and take a look at our flag that was put up there 43 years ago. They're planning on going to the moon, and some people say, oh, we've got to get to the moon. We've got to get there in a hurry to prove we can get there before China. It's like, guys, we were there a long time ago, all right?" Okay, well, notwithstanding the argument of whether or not the Apollo 11 flag is still there, we know it fell over, and whether it's been bleached white by ultraviolet rays, which is always my favorite little inside thing. But, you know, in buried, Dave, in his comments is this idea that you almost think like, well, we're really not interested in the moon. We've been there, done that. We don't need to go back. Space is cool. It united us. We should look at what we're capable of doing. But then he never takes the next step and says, so let's go do it again, or let's go back and do something more. He's just saying, hey, this is a great nation. We're capable of doing this. So let's go apply that can-do spirit to something else. Do these comments reflect what you think Mitt Romney personally believes about space, or is this just off-the-cuff stuff that he doesn't really know what's going on?
Oh, I think those are off-the-cuff things, maybe fed to him by campaign staff, and it's all about winning. And I was disappointed when he said about Newt and the moon colony. He could have criticized that without quite being as nasty as he was to Newt. And now, of course, he's won the primary and he's got to go on and win. And then he's up in Ohio, and Neil Armstrong dies, an Ohio favorite son. And so he sounds much more supportive. You know, really, historically, you know, we really haven't had a space fan in the White House, in my opinion, since Ronald Reagan. I think Ronald Reagan really was intrigued by space, and pretty much everybody since then kind of interested in it, but not really super. And neither of these two guys, Obama or Romney, are big space fans.
Well, that's absolutely right. We're going to finish some more talking about this. We're going to take our pause at the bottom of the hour here, our five-minute built-in hold, get you caught up on the latest news, weather, and sports on this college Saturday football. And we'll be back with more about space politics and space policy with Dale Ketchum and Dave Weldon. I'm Jim Benck. You're listening to Space Talk right here on WMMB.
If you missed part of the show, catch the podcast, Space Talk, in the on-demand section at WMMBAM.com. With everything you need to know about America's space program, here is Jim Benke.
And welcome back to our second half of Space Talk on WMMB. Again, the phone lines and online inbox are open for your questions or comments. The phone number is always 321-768-1240. The email address, spacetalking@AOL.com. By the way, in case anyone's keeping track at home today on this September 29th, it is the 24th anniversary of the launch of Space Shuttle Discovery on STS-26, the return-to-flight mission following the Challenger disaster. It's amazing to think how far we've come since then and how far we haven't. In the studio today, as we've been talking with Dale Ketchum from UCF and Dave Weldon, our former congressman here on the Space Coast, about all things the election, space politics. We did get a couple of really good questions from our friend Jerry from Vieira, and so we'll pose the first one to Dr. Weldon. He says, can Dr. Weldon clarify the Republican position on NASA support of commercial space taxis? Is it feasible to have commercial providers for low-Earth orbit delivery of astronauts while leaving the deep space missions to NASA? And I guess that question has to deal with not only the budget realities and the appropriateness of it, but the safety and all those other issues. What do you think about the way that they're doing it right now?
Well, you have to remember when I answer this question, I'm Dr. Weldon. I'm practicing medicine. I've got a little consulting business on the side. And so I don't go to all the Republican meetings, and I can't any longer really speak with any authority for Republicans.
Sure.
And that's a better question maybe addressed to Bill Posey. But I will say this. You know, the Republicans are very, from my perspective, are very open to the idea of commercial space taxis. In other words, taking the concept of what SpaceX has demonstrated and developing that further and possibly going in the direction of a man-rated commercial. It doesn't have to be SpaceX. It can be a Lockheed product or it can be a Boeing product. It would have to be, you know, correctly bidded out and have a man-rated capsule. I mean, I believe they're working on it.
Sure.
I mean, Dale, aren't they?
They're
working on it,
yeah.
Very much so. And so, and that is, I think, you know, now speaking as a Republican, very concerned about we're bankrupt and we're borrowing one out of every $3 we spend. You know, the reality is you're not going to have a new multi-billion-dollar rocket program. I was very disappointed when they canceled the Ares. We invested $7 or $9 billion in that,
sure.
and it was just money down the drain. And so how do we move forward? Well, you're not going to find that the budgeting for another, you know, $10 billion to develop a new rocket. So, yes, I think commercial is a good way to go.
Well, and it's been interesting. There's been some discussion and observations that as this debate continues, we've seen Republican lawmakers almost act democratic in a way. They want the big government. They want the big government contracts. And you've got Democrats.
Some have.
And some Democrats are saying, well, it's got to be all private industry and commercial.
I think that a lot of that is the district that they're in. If you represent an area where there have been a lot of laid off space workers, you're going to have a Republican sounding much more big government and wanting a government-funded new rocket program to put all these people back to work. And, you know, that's really the way it should be. You know, if you read the Constitution, the guys who are the representatives in the district are supposed to represent the values of the people in the district more so than a political philosophy. And yes, I've seen that. I've witnessed that. And maybe I've even been guilty of that on more occasion than one. And many, you know, big inner city Democrats may sound very, very much like limited government people. Oh, we can't afford this and let's cancel this program. Of course, they don't have a single employee in their district, so it's very easy for them to get up on the floor of the House and say, let's do away with it.
But what a novel concept to have a person who you've elected to represent you actually representing the best interest of your district.
That's what you're supposed to do, and the senators are supposed to represent the state, and the president is supposed to watch out for the nation. Now, we're all, not just senators and representatives, I think every red-blooded patriotic American is supposed to be concerned about the whole country,
right?
And that's a lot of what this is all about. But you know, I think commercial is the only solution for us to get out of Baikonur and get back to launching rockets here at home.
And is the commercial solution more than just the idea of paying somebody to do it, and then there's the regulations and safety and all those issues that can be worked out, and they are working those out. And I don't think that's as big of a deal as a lot of people make it out. I've been more intrigued in this whole effort as just this whole different contracting scheme, the so-called cost plus versus fixed price, the different ways the government can go about contracting with commercial folks to get the business done. And this fixed price, to say that you're going to go to SpaceX or Orbital Sciences, we're going to pay you $1 billion to fly these very specific flights over this very specific time frame, seems to me a lot better way to govern than to say, well, here's the blank check, develop this, and as much as you need, we'll give it to you until it gets done.
I agree with you totally. Fixed price, and just put it out there. And if it's unrealistic, you know, the contractors won't bid. And when you do cost plus, you're opening the door for cost overruns. Now, even with fixed price, you can have your selected contractor turn around and come back to you and say, oh, we forgot, you know, this should have been squared and we had it cubed or something like that in the equations. It's really going to cost $100 billion more. So there's no guarantee when the government does anything. And it's really no guarantee even in the commercial world. Things always go awry. Space is a very tough business to operate in. That's one thing I learned in my years supporting the space program and being on the committees in the House. Everything ends up being harder. You know, it's like that joke about the neurosurgeon at the cocktail party who goes around saying, well, you know, I'm a neurosurgeon. It's very complicated and all that. And somebody finally says to him, yeah, but it's not as complicated as rocket science, because there's a rocket scientist at the party. You know?
That's true. It's true.
Well, Dale, let's go to you now with another question here. Again, this one, Jerry. He says, without a clearly stated target and timeline for NASA deep space missions, for example, a trip to the Lagrangian point station or an asteroid rendezvous by sometime in the 20-whatever, how does the president's technology development emphasis differ from a pay-as-you-go scenario, which is kind of following up, but we're talking about different ways to contract. What do you think about? And, Dale, you are also not an official representative of any campaign. We should make it very clear. Or any particular party. You're just Dale Ketchum.
Concerned citizen.
Concerned citizen. Guy from UCF wearing a Gator shirt. I don't know why.
Yeah. I was going to comment on that, by the way. Where's your Knights shirt?
Well, actually, it's just normal. This will be my 40th year with the season tickets at the Swamp, so I'm proud to work for UCF, and I know I'm very happy that they were kicking Missouri's butt. So.
By the way, Missouri's over UCF 14-10 in the third quarter. All right. So to the question, technology development, how does that all fit in?
Well, I think that was one of the parts of what the president proposed in his fiscal 11 budget was to transfer a lot of technology development specifically to KSC because we were losing such a big portion of the workforce that had been doing shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, and as well as transitioning responsibility for the crewed, commercial crew from Johnson Space Center to Kennedy Space Center. And that was a huge event. And Marshall, one of the reasons why the whole program more or less went up on the rocks in Congress is because it was a clear transitioning of the center of gravity of the agency's human spaceflight away from Marshall and Johnson and towards Kennedy Space Center. And we did not have the seniority in the Senate or the House to fight that fight.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think his goal was to make more effective our existing, our ability to perform in space and really recapture senior leadership through technology development. And he talked about wanting to go from the moon, to go from Earth to Mars. Right now it's going to take the better part of a year. He said, let's develop the technologies that will allow us to get there within a month. And that really came home to me, particularly last week. I was at a space event at UCF, and there's a professor over there who's been doing a NASA study trying to identify the best metrics to judge what team you assemble to go to Mars, because you're going to have 5 or 7 people in a tin can.
Like the crew makeup.
Yeah. What's the best way to figure out the right makeup? And because you're going to be in a can for 10 months, then you're on the surface of the moon for a year while the planets come realign, then you're going to be coming back in the same can for 10 months. And they ask, part of that evaluation, it's been going on for 3 years, they ask every astronaut who'd been on the station 3 months or more,
yeah,
would you volunteer to go to Mars?
Yeah.
Every one of them said no.
Oh, really?
Assertively, I will not go that long.
Wow.
And because evidently there's a lot of tension on the space station, not because it's Americans and Russians, but because it's like a marriage. And they use the analogy of there's a little Velcro thing on the wall of the where you put your pencil or pen or whatever they use.
Right.
And some guys like it with the point up and some astronauts like it with the point down. And you can deal with that for a couple of days, but after months, you're ready to kill one
with
another.
Nowhere to go.
Oh, and so there's some, I don't think that knowledge was available when the president made his decision, but I think that sort of helps us understand that we're not ready to go to Mars. We're not even close to being ready to go to Mars.
Yeah.
And the idea was to let's make the investment so we can have a system that will allow us to go anywhere. Like if the Chinese get to the moon, great, congratulations.
Right.
If the Chinese get to the moon and start mining, that's an entirely different matter.
Oh, sure.
And so I think the goal was to let's do a strategic pause instead of building a specific system to go to a specific place and just reinforce our entire technology industrial base for space leadership.
Wow.
With the idea that that would be what would really scare the Chinese.
That's incredible. And just to me, what you said just reinforces the idea that we've got a lot more to learn in low Earth orbit, a lot more to learn by doing something on the moon before we start venturing out any farther to some other crazy spot. Hey, guys, stand by. We're going to take our final break of the day. When we come back, we will wrap up our conversations for the day. We'll offer up our weekly look at the local launch forecast as well. I'm Jim Benck. You're listening to Space Talk right here on WMMB.
If you missed part of the show, catch the podcast, Space Talk, in the on-demand section at WMMBAM.com. Back to our own mission specialist, Jim Benke.
And welcome back as we begin our final segment of today's edition of Space Talk. With your reminder, you can stay in touch with us online throughout the week. Your first stop, of course, is WMMBAM.com, keyword Space Talk, where you can find an archive of past Space Talk shows and text versions of our orbital inclinations. You can also follow us on Twitter at Space Talking, and we have a Space Talk page on Facebook as well. All of these places, opportunities for you to send in your questions, comments about the show, suggestions for future guests, and the like. Now let's take a look at the local launch forecast, see what's on the calendar. And when we do, we find that our next launch is coming up this Thursday, October 4th. A United Launch Alliance Delta IV rocket is to fly on a mission to deliver the newest GPS navigation satellite into Earth orbit. Liftoff from Cape Canaveral Air Force Station is targeted for 8:10 a.m. Eastern Daylight this Thursday, which, by the way, also marks the 55th anniversary of the world's first launch into orbit, which, of course, was Sputnik. We'll provide updates on the countdown to launch on the Delta IV this Thursday during the 8 o'clock hour of the Bill Mick Live program. And if that wasn't enough fun, we have yet another launch targeted to fly next weekend, a week from tomorrow, Sunday, October 7th at 8:34 p.m., when the next SpaceX Falcon 9 launch is to send their Dragon capsule to the International Space Station. It'll be the first official cargo delivery sortie to the orbiting outpost. By the way, the Falcon 9 test fired its main engine on the launch pad here at 1:30 this afternoon, and so far the report is all went well with that test, static test firing, which means, of course, that the rocket's in good shape for a launch again the 7th at 8:34. So once again, we've got Thursday morning launch and the Sunday launch on the 7th in the evening. For more information about this and all the various launches scheduled around the world, do jump online to the web, WMMBAM.com, keyword Space Talk. Look, Space Talk, look for the link to our launch forecast. I'm trying to get through all this because we want to get back to our discussion with Dale Ketchum and Dave Weldon about politics and space policy and whatnot. And Congressman Weldon, this past week, Congressman Posey and some of his colleagues in Congress suggested, introduced a bill that would, I guess, fundamentally, is that the way to say it, change the way that NASA is funded and managed and goes about its business, and an emphasis to, I think, quote-unquote, depoliticize the whole process. You're a little familiar with what those words came out. I guess we're talking about a 10-year stint for a NASA administrator, an 11-person, what, an executive board of some kind, a board of directors to run the agency, kind of like the National Science Foundation. What are your thoughts on this different way to do business in Washington with NASA?
I thought it was very intriguing, and I'm initially supportive of it. I haven't read the bill in detail, but you know, when you really look on the inside, NASA has sort of been kind of a playground or a piggy bank for politicians. It's particularly bad in the Senate and with earmarking. Now we're getting away from that. But, you know, it's not really always just driven by good science. It's frequently driven by a lot of local politics and state politics and even politics within the Senate. Who's mm-hmm. in power? Who's the majority leader? And if you really want it to be like, you know, NIH and National Science Foundation, you really need to rethink the whole way it's run, the bureaucracy, the missions. So I think it's a refreshing new idea. And this is something, for example, if Romney comes in, if he wants to take a fresh look and have a committee, this is the kind of thing he needs to look at, redoing NASA from the inside out, basically.
As opposed to new destinations and new space architecture as a fundamental way to reorganize the agency. And I'm trying to understand, how does this depoliticize the effort? Congress is going to give these guys a certain amount of money, and then they've got 10 years to play with that budget? Or?
Well, as I frequently like to say, where two or more are gathered together, you have politics. Just deciding whether we're going to have Mexican or Italian any good night of the week is always a challenge. Jeez. And so, you know, the bigger the stakes, the bigger the political challenge, and you're not going to completely ever depoliticize. And NIH is very politicized, and NSF is politicized, you could argue, but they're better than NASA. And hopefully it will give us clearer direction. And, you know, one of the big criticisms against NASA is they just have too many committees and meetings, and they don't accomplish enough with the resources that they have. And so I think part of this is to get back to that sort of bigger boulder, looking to the heavens and trying to carve a new path for the future, as opposed to pleasing congressmen and senators and protecting jobs.
Sure. So. And a lot of that brought on not necessarily by themselves internally, but by those external forces that require those meetings and reports and whatnot to keep all these senators and congressmen happy.
Well, as a limited government kind of guy, that's part of why I think this commercial approach where NASA is going to just say, okay, we want, you know, you to build a capsule that we can use to go to Mars, or we can go to the moon, or either place with, and we'll give you X number of dollars, is the better way to go. And, you know, you'll still have to have NASA official government people reviewing that contract and approving that contract, but you could ultimately get us to a place where we have people working more on accomplishing things and less on the next meeting, basically.
And I think it'd make a big difference if we, the more we expose the agency to the private sector, just having SpaceX in conjunction working in proximity to the agency. Because the agency, that's one of the best things I like about the proposal by Culbertson, Wolf, and Posey, because I don't necessarily agree with how everything that it's structured about, but it's clearly opening a debate about how do we reformat the existing agency to better reflect where we're going to be in the 21st century. And, you know, I agree entirely with Dave that the commercial sector really should become more of a driver in our exploration efforts. I know there's a lot of criticism of commercial from people I quite frankly find disingenuous, that you can't turn over the lives of astronauts to for-profit organizations. And that's a crock, because an astronaut is no more valuable than an American citizen who flies on planes a million times a day built by for-profit organizations. And Boeing builds its aircrafts on a for-profit basis. It's a bad business model to kill your customer. So I have confidence in the private sector to execute.
Well, and believe it or not, guys, we are running out of time. So I want to thank you, Dale Ketchum, Congressman Dave Weldon, for your opinions and thoughts and comments today. Clearly, we have a lot more to discuss between now and November, and we'll certainly continue to deal with that each week as the news brings it out. So thanks again, guys, for being here. By the way, next week on Space Talk, we'll be joined by NASA's Associate Administrator for Education, astronaut Leland Melvin. Leland has been on the program before. One of my favorites to talk with, in part because, if you may remember, he's the astronaut who began his career as an NFL player with the Detroit Lions. And we'll see how my Vikings do tomorrow with the Lions, and then we'll decide whether or not we want to talk about football next week, again, with NASA's Education Chief. Either way, it's going to be a great program. Please stay tuned with us and tune in. Let's see what's going on. That is it for now. Space Talk, a production of Mylas Solutions, brought to you thanks to the generous help of our supporting sponsors, Space Florida, Boeing, Abacus Technology, SpaceX, United Launch Alliance, and Lockheed Martin. Thanks to Sean Williams for manning the op station for today's program. Please join us next Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time for another hour of Space Talk. Stay tuned now as WMMB presents a weekend edition of the Glenn Beck program. I'm Jim Bankey. We'll talk to you again real soon.